Oh my God, you guys, happy Thursday. Welcome to the Listen Bitch podcast with your host, Brandon Lynette. I'm just gonna go on a limb and say, I hope this is not your first time tuning in. I already went through my whole introduction spiel. As you guys know, it's the whole Welcome to the Listen Bitch podcast. Da, 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 da. You probably all have it memorized. I went through that, started recording a podcast and shooting the breeze. And I realized I was not recording, which is crazy because Zoom literally tells me recording in progress. And I know I didn't hear it. So it's a rookie mistake, man. And we're in season 5, episode 366 today. Can I get a fuck yes? Congratulations. We're doing the damn thing. I love you guys. I wouldn't be doing this still if you were not tuning in, if I wasn't getting the feedback, and if you weren't just absolute pure support in the pursuit of not only me being better, but cheering yourself on through these moments too, and being able to work some of my life advice into your life, into your activities, habits, perspective, whatever it is. I mean, let's pat each other on the back. I appreciate you guys. I wouldn't be here without you, honestly, truly. So, rookie mistake, because we're doing this. I can't believe I just did that. And it's been a hell of a day. I am so excited that it's Thursday because that means tomorrow is Friday and mommy leaves the house on Friday for a while. I get to go bartend. It's going to be a wild weekend, okay? Where I bartend in Southwest Michigan, the place is kind of like an iconic place. I mean, even I've known this place since I moved here. Gosh, I don't know. I've been here 15 or 16 years. I knew about this place, and the owner's name was Babe, and he's an icon. Rest in peace, Babe. He's been passed away for quite a while now. But he had an employee who has been there for like 35 years, I think. This dude worked there for 35 years, even under the new owners after Babe passed away. He's been working there, and he has his retirement party this weekend. So it is going to be wild. And I know it's crazy. It's so crazy because I remember being at that bar and the owner came up with these shots that we call toppers. And I know if you're local right now, y'all just threw up in your mouth a little bit because I think that babe tried to kill everybody with toppers at one point. I know personally, I'm not even from Michigan and I fell victim. Okay. Back in the toxic drinking days. So anyway, that's the popular shot at this bar. So I'm gonna be, the sober bartender, not feeling bad the next day, wishing that I were dead, but I'm happy to pour as many toppers as needed. It's gonna be so much fun. It's just gonna be fun. I know it's gonna be like an old reunion of just seeing a lot of my old regulars, because I haven't bartended in the area for over a decade. Yeah. It's since my daughter was born. So 10 years since my baby number 5 was born. So it's a 10-year reunion of seeing people I haven't seen. It's going to be great. But it was a heavy week at home. It was a heavy week. In fact, there was even a day where literally, you guys, my husband works 10-hour shifts at his job. And he's a boss man. And the main boss is out. So he has a little added pressure to the demands of his job. And so he already takes on a lot. Well, let's just say, okay, like Tuesday was probably the hardest day for me that I've had in a really long time. Just I went through some stuff with the kids and I had to change some habits and some things. And adults don't like change. So you guys can imagine what kids are like when it comes to change. It was a very exhausting day emotionally, physically, mentally. I went to bed and the kitchen was a mess. Like it was one of those days where you pick your battles. And I'm really mindful, like when my husband works, I like to get things, organized as much as I can because I know what it's like when I come home from work. I don't want to walk into a mess. So I give him the same respect. And he's always really good about, I hate you guys, I hate doing the dishes. I really do, but I do them when he works. He does them on his days off. And I never ever would have that expectation. I went to bed like knowing, look, tomorrow's going to be a better day. I'm going to wake up, after I get out of the gym, I'm going to do these dishes and we're going to start over fresh. It's going to be fine. Oh my God. When I woke up, he had cleaned the whole kitchen. So I just shout out to husbands who just do the damn thing. Like he knew I had a hard day. didn't have any expectations for me. Wasn't like, oh my God, I just killed myself at work and stressed out with people. You could have at least done the fucking dishes, whatever. I think it was one of those days where he just knew, like, my wife kept the kids alive. They're all upstairs breathing and asleep and in bed. And like, he just did it. And I told him how much it meant to me, just like, you know, it's, I can ask him to do anything, right? And he would in a heartbeat. But it's those things, the times when you don't ask and someone comes through for you, that I think mean the most. So shout out to Mr. Brandon Lynette, because, you know, he kind of is my hero this week. And he knows I'm counting down the day until Friday. So it's, he knows. He knows mom needs to leave the house. But I, you know, two things can be true. I love my kids to death. I love being a stay-at-home mom. I love homeschooling them. I love all those things, but I also need to get the fuck out of here sometimes. And I feel that all of it, I feel that. Okay. And so a question that I get asked a lot, even though I feel like I answer this a lot, especially in this podcast and just in real life, is like, how do you stop being so reactive? You know? And I think the real question is like, let's ask yourself, like, what makes me so sensitive and so reactive? Is it literally just your personality? You know, like, a lot of people are just naturally more sensitive because maybe they have like high emotional sensitivity, or they're just fucking neurotic. I don't know. You know, is it early childhood experiences, their trauma, neglect, overprotectiveness? All of these things shape how people react to stress and emotional situations. And then if you can't manage your emotions, you've definitely got a heightened reactivity because everything's just fucking running loose, right? And people who struggle with any sort of emotional regulation, you're always going to feel overwhelmed by your feelings. And that's going to, you can't hide that shit. Okay. It's like a tea kettle blowing up, right? The whistle is going off. But then you've got people, like, especially moms who are just over, you know, in that spirit of overwhelm, and you've let things like anxiety and depression, you know, become your identity. So absolutely, you have a heightened sensitivity. You are absolutely reactive. But environment plays a part too. Like, in the midst of stressful or chaotic things, you know, you're triggering people. Ah, we're getting a FaceTime call. Sorry, guys. Listen, it was a FaceTime call from my kid. Okay. Thank you for your patience in the interruption. And every time kids call, like, you know, your stomach kind of sinks and you're like, I have one kid that I know, she just calls me all the time. And if I don't answer, she leaves a message that she's dying or she's in a car accident. But anybody else, like, I usually genuinely, I'm like, okay, I need to answer this. But she literally just FaceTimed me to show me that they're at the park playing basketball, her and my youngest son. And there's a cat that's always at the park, and she saw him. So she wanted me to FaceTime so I could see him too, because obviously we're suckers for animals. So anyway, I got to see this little kitty cat through FaceTime, and such a friendly cat. And I don't know where I was at when I was talking about, like, us being able to ask ourselves why do we become so sensitive and so reactive? Okay. Like, why do we allow everybody the power to just piss us off and blow up? And what are the things that make us blow up? Right. So we're putting ourselves through these just chronic stress. So you have zero tolerance. If you do not have an outlet, or I know that when I was drinking really super heavy, you do not have a tolerance for anything. You're just completely irritable. You're frustrated. You don't feel good. When I wasn't working out, when I don't go to the gym, I feel a shift in my mood, and I'm definitely a lot more snappy. Another thing that happens, like, that, you know, times that I would blow up, it's that accumulated feelings. You're not releasing them. You're either trying to bury shit or ignore it, or trying to get into that toxic positivity. Like, if I just tell myself I'm happy, I'll be happy. So you're just going to have this overwhelming sense of anger and sadness. And then you're going to outburst by minor shit. Minor shit will piss you off, but like, the world could be falling down and you're just like, oh, okay. So weird. And just, you know, past experiences do absolutely trigger people because of past trauma or unresolved issues. You know, feeling powerless in that situation is going to lead to a huge release of that pent up frustration, you know? But if you are someone who is willing to just kick out the fucking substances. Okay. We're done with the alcohol. We're done with the drugs. Because that's going to decrease your reactivity immediately. That is something I could tell you shifted so much for me. And even now, if I, you know, have cocktails every now and then, I feel the next day, it's not a hangover, but definitely my nervous system is not the same. So I'm snappy. I'm snappy because I don't have that sense of peace. I literally poisoned myself, which is, you know, it happens. But if you're willing to let go or just even decrease your use, like, it's going to change your reactions. But we're out here just being triggered the fuck up. Like, we're totally triggered. Everywhere we look, there's going to be a trigger because nobody escaped the gauntlet of trauma. Somebody has been hurt. Everybody's been hurt by somebody. So there are some ways that, like, when I'm feeling triggered, and it's different for different situations, like this week with my kids, okay? This week with my kids, when I'm starting to feel triggered, I'm thinking, why am I freaking out? Like, you know, she's 6, she's 10. They're freaking out. And it's the same conversation of, like, you know, my 9-year-old, well, she's 10. She just turned 10. I got to keep remembering this. My 10-year-old still sleeps with us. I've co-slept with all the babies, and, you know, they've all they all kind of lingered, and that's okay. And my 9-year-old or 10-year-old, she will cry, if she's not sleeping in my room. And she even tried to have a sleepover the other night. It was her first time having her friends spend the night, and they set up cots in my office, and she was so excited. I knew that they should sleep in my room. I knew that they should sleep. She has a bed right next to mine. We have cots. Like, I'm like, this would be the best bet for us to all get some sleep tonight. But she was very adamant that she wanted to come down here. So she ends up crying. And I kind of start to get irritated because I knew I was right. Okay. It's like, kids, why doesn't she listen the first time? But then it's like, man, you know, she tries to beat herself up for school because she doesn't know everything right away. And I tell herself, like, this is part of the process. That's the point of school, to learn things. And so I have to talk myself off the cliff. Like, she's just learning. She had to see for herself that this was probably the best idea in this moment. And I think, you know, my husband gets sad because my 6-year-old, I work Fridays and Saturdays and mommy's gone till 2 a.m. Well, sometimes, well, actually later. And so my 6-year-old has to go to bed without me, and she's traumatized. Like, she cries and it's heartbreaking, and he doesn't understand it because he's been put in a crib since he was little. And I'm like, you know, I am 44 years old. I've never been okay sleeping alone. I have never been okay sleeping alone. To this day, I'm not okay sleeping alone. Okay. So why would I have this expectation for my kid? You know, I don't expect that. So it's a matter of having this conversation and talking yourself through the triggers. So I asked myself this week, why are you having this reaction? And it's because of the boundaries I set. It interfered with my routine. And there are some things that I do hold sacred. Like, I know my routine. I know what I do. I know my boundaries. I know what I can get done. And I'm just used to that. So when something happens very, very unexpectedly, I get frustrated. I get short. And so talking myself through the process, right? First thing you're going to do when you start to feel that moment is to talk yourself, in whatever perspective you're in, talk yourself through that. And that's the same thing with my husband. Like, even when I'm the one that has to admit I am an idiot and I'm embarrassed and I have shame and I'm sorry I reacted this way and I feel stupid, okay? I still have to process all those things. And I talk about, like, you know, I ask myself, why am I having this reaction? So it doesn't matter if you're dealing with kids, with your boss, with your coworkers, you know, with your partner, whatever it is. When you start to feel those emotions come up, okay, like, you can picture it. And the minute you learn to get your mind to just sit still for a minute, this is why I love microdosing, because microdosing does this for me. It, like, freezes time. So I get in this habit of being able to just kind of pause time, and I feel that emotion. Okay. And instead of being reactive and trying to fix everything for everyone and try to do whatever, because I've fucked up a lot of lives doing that. Okay. I ask myself, why am I having this reaction? I get to the core of it. What is this reminding me of? Okay, well, there's some stories I told myself for a very long time that I kept in the dark, and now they're really big. You know, is there a need being unmet? Is there a time when I needed something that wasn't given to me and it is highlighting the situation even bigger? Have I not communicated what I need in this moment? And for a mom that is 24 hours a mom and doesn't even get to go to the bathroom by herself, there is a point during the week where my needs aren't met. Like, I don't have the time to process my thoughts or to catch my breath, especially if I've missed my window for the gym. Okay. Very, very crucial for me to be able to make it to the gym so I can process and be able to prepare for the day. Like, that is my prep time, you know? But as I'm going through the emotions, I think about, what am I feeling in my body? Like, do I really feel the way I'm reacting? Do I really feel the way I want to react? Or am I feeling defensive because I'm hurt? Is something happening? What thoughts are going through my brain and what emotions do these thoughts spark? That's it. What is in and out of my control? And what is going to help me right now? What is going to help me right now? So for us with the kids, with my heavy week with the kids, I went to every go-to to help us. Okay. Cause I literally changed their life cold turkey. They're in a routine just like me. Okay. So both of our routines were really messed up. So you've got the three of us here in each other's face 24 hours a day. Okay. And it's raining outside, so we can't really, you know, get crazy out there, turn on the dance party. Still, that's always been my go-to. That has always been my go-to for us to change our energy and to shift. Dance party is magic because we end up laughing and acting silly, and none of that worked. So when none of that worked, I had to take myself through that process of like, okay, this isn't working, and I'm panicking because I'm a mom and I have to fix this. Okay. And then I just realized, like, it doesn't have to work. We can just sit here and be uncomfortable. We can sit here in boredom and frustration and just kind of feel this for the moment, because we all needed a lesson. As much as I thought there was a lesson in this for my babies, I needed the lesson as well. And it's amazing how full circle this shit comes when you get outside of your head and you're willing to look at an entire situation and not just what's for you. Like, you cannot be out here as an adult and expect more from your kids than you can fucking handle. Okay. Like, you expect your kids to do the right thing every single time because you never mess up? I don't think so. You can expect your kids to know the right thing when you break the rules all the time? I don't think so. Like, we are just out here having these expectations. And I'm not trying to turn this into a parent talk. Obviously, my experience this week was definitely parent. I guess it's always parent shit, isn't it? God, being a parent is so hard, right? It is so hard. And I feel like it probably is 90% of my reality is parenting, but it doesn't matter what situation you're in, even with people around you, like, letting people have the power to piss you off or to get you to react. Like, people do it on purpose. That's part of the manipulation, right? Like, I used to do that all the time. Like, I'd be the person that's smiling, but someone out in front of me is swinging and trying to punch me in the face and whatever. And I'm just like, da, 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 I win because I pushed your buttons, right? People are going to do that to you. Because you look like an idiot when you react. People look for that. It's the power. It's the power of knowing. I don't want to give anybody the power of knowing that they can fuck me up, right? So why is something going to bother me? And once you take yourself through the situation of what can I control? What can I control? And, you know, even where I'm bartending, they make fun of me. They're like, you really just don't. You're fine with whatever. And I'm like, yeah, because here's the deal. We come and clock in. It doesn't matter what's going to happen. We have to be here. We chose to be here. We just get through it. That's all we can do, is just do the next right thing. So if we have a surprise party of 60 people show up, why would we freak out? How is that going to help us navigate and do the next right thing? There's no point in that. We can do what we can do. And that's everyone's job in the world, is to do what they can do. And we give each other that grace. Right? We give each other that grace. And if that's something you're not comfortable with, it's because you're not giving yourself that grace. So As hard as it is, okay, we are not giving people the power to watch us melt down. We are no longer running from our emotions. We're going to sit with them and we're going to question ourselves and we're going to see if the story we're telling ourselves even aligns with who we are today. Some of these stories that surface for me when I'm triggered go back to like 16-year-old Brandon that was going through some shit. Some of the stories go back to 12-year-old Brandon, you know, and we have to love ourselves through these moments. Like 16-year-old Brandon kept me alive in a lot of situations and that bitch is a badass. But like I can, she's good now. She can let go and take a break. She doesn't have to keep showing up to fight my battles, right? I'm here. And the same thing with 12-year-old Brandon who went into fight or flight mode. Like that bitch wants to run away all the time. That's her way of protecting us, whatever, however you want to say it. Like that version of me that was stuck at that moment emotionally, I still try to bring that here. So when I merge all of these stories, I realize that all those stories don't match who I am today. And little by little, I begin to release them and I sit with that emotion. I sit with that feeling. But this is the work, you guys. It's the work that people don't want to do. It's the work that people say is just too easy. They take it for granted and then it's too hard. Okay. It sounds really easy, but the discipline it takes to commit to this, it's an everyday thing. There's always going to be something that comes up to push me to that next level of growth. And as long as you are wanting to step into your potential, this is going to be true for you too. That should be exciting for us. It should be exciting for us that every single day we get to wake up in the miracle of life and think, oh, what do I get to learn today? What do I get to learn today? Who can I impact today? What version of myself can I evolve into today? And that's your job. I love you guys. Thank you for letting me have my therapy session out loud on the Listen Bitch podcast with your host, Brandon Lynette. Make sure you check the show notes for all of the important links. And I hope you have an incredible weekend. I don't really know what homework I can give you outside of don't let people win, man. Don't give people the power over you to get you to react and be willing to sit with your shit. Be willing to sit with it. It made for a long couple of days, but we survived it. We survived it. And I think we're better for it. So I love you guys. I'll see you next week.